Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 18th, 2010, episode 14, sponsored by Easy Signs Online. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Jamie, and good morning, everybody.
Well, we have some big news hot off the wire, Glenn. And I think that my prediction on this show was wrong. Last Monday, I believe, after the Breeders' Cup, I said that Zenyatta, they probably were going to get her 20 wins. 20 for 21, you know, might as well knock out the 20. Well, she's going to finish 19 out of 20 because she has now officially been retired.
Well, now we'll see if this sticks, because if you remember right, last year about this time they retired her and then brought her back in January. So this has been done before where they retired her.
Yeah, that's true. I think this is a little more final. They've got her out in California right now, and they're basically what they do with a racehorse when they retire them is they have to slow their work process down. They can't just quit them, you know. They have to actually keep galloping her and just do less and less and less. And so that's what they're working on right now. And she is going to go to your neck of the woods. She's going to go up to Versailles, Kentucky, and go stand at Lanes End Farm, which I believe is where AP India is, which is, you know, one of my favorite horses. But she's going to go up to Versailles, Kentucky, and I'm going to book my tour as soon as they let me because I want to go meet her.
Yeah, right down the road from us, actually. And now, do they know who, have they picked out a first daddy yet?
No, they have not picked one out, or maybe they have picked one out, but they have not said it. They say we are undecided at this time. So we shall see. We shall see. I'd like to hear from people and kind of take their predictions on who they think they're going to breed her to, because that's going to be a huge, huge deal on who Zenyatta's baby is by. And I would assume that whoever they pick, a bunch of other people are going to breed to him as well. So it could be interesting. I mean, she's already won $7 million. So she's doing pretty well for herself. She's got her pick of the litter, I think.
Yeah, I think she's pretty much whoever they want her to be involved with, she'll be involved with. You know,
and I believe that's a very PG way of putting it. She will find involvement.
Family radio. And I think that they'll probably be flying that stallion in, or that they'll be flying her to wherever she needs to go to get that accomplished. I don't think that's going to be an issue either.
Though? They're just very much trying to keep this horse. I've never seen any owners that have done such a good job of making the public feel like they owned this racehorse. Everybody feels like they have a connection to her. And, you know, they're not quietly retiring her at all. They're going to have a big parade in front of the public in Hollywood Park before they even take her to Lexington. So they're going to let everybody who's been with her in California go see her and say goodbye before they actually even send her out to Kentucky. So good for them. They're making the public love this horse, and I think it's worked.
Yeah, I do too. I think they have done a terrific job, and we needed that. I mean, racing needed that. The horse world needs it, not just racing. The whole horse world needs heroes and, you know, somebody that we can all look up to, because we just don't have enough of that. We hear about all the negative, and most of the time we don't hear enough about the positive. So if you want to talk about that, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'll be here this morning till 10:30. And we also have a little bit of a competition going on, Jamie, that sort of happened by itself. And
This is like the war of the worlds. I mean, you cannot get two groups of people to compete more than these two groups of people. And I'm excited to see how this pans out today. Tell us about what's going on, Glenn.
Well, for a while now, there was a competition that the Western radio show host here on the Horse Radio Network had against Chris over there at the Dressage Radio Show about who was going to be the first one on Facebook to reach 1,000 fans. Well, Western beat out Dressage by a little bit, not by much, but I checked yesterday and the competition still is going on. Western has 1206 and Dressage has 1144. So, I would say throw your support where you want to. If you're more of a Western fan, hop on over to the Western Radio Show Facebook page and add them to your collection of likes. And if you're a Dressage fan or a venter or somebody who want to support the Dressage side of the house, head on over to the Dressage Radio Show on Facebook and like them over there. And we'll see if Dressage can overtake Western here. But so far, it looks like those sliding stops are beating the pirouettes, I got to say. quarter horses, as we talked about yesterday, the quarter horses are, doing better than those warm bloods. So right now, that's what's going
now
on.
Now you've done it. You opened up a can. It's trouble now. Oh, boy. All right.
What was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought. But anyway, we'll follow that and keep an eye on it here.
Glenn, where can they find this on Facebook? Is it like we're facebook.com/horsesinthemorning? Is it just go to the Horse Radio Network and click on it? How do they find Dressage or Western?
I would just search in the search box on Facebook and just search for Dressage Radio Show or Western Radio Show, and they pop up to the top. That's the easiest way to do it. And if you're not following us yet, you're absolutely right there, Jamie. Good plug. If you're not following us yet, you want to follow us also at Horses in the Morning on Facebook because we post a lot of cool stuff there. So we're going to talk about how everybody listening today, not just the callers, get an opportunity to win today's prize. We're switching it up a little bit on you today to have some fun here. But first, I don't know if Jennifer's there. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
We can actually hear her today. Yay! So
yay.
Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up on the show today because we have something that's a lot of fun.
On today's show, we have a visit from the owner and rider of the YouTube sensation, Ed the Pony, live on the Horses in the Morning show. I'm so excited. The young man who rides the pony in the videos is going to be with us as well as his grandma. And they're going to talk all about Ed the Pony, and he's famous for being naughty. But I think we're going to hear the real story from Mandy and Ross. I think a lot of folks who maybe stopped by and saw the video or heard about the video from friends might be a little surprised about the real Ed. And then also Fran Yerga's Horse Almanac is going to be here again, and we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting bits and pieces in history. And we're going to take all your listener calls and call in, say hi. Call in, say hello, my name is George and I'm from California, and hang up on us. That's okay if you're shy. And that's what we're going to be doing today.
Well, you wanted to say, too, if you want to, we're going to have Ed on a little bit, or we're not going to have Ed on. Ed doesn't talk much. We're going to have Mandy and Ross, Ed's keepers. And if you haven't seen Ed the Naughty Pony video, go to YouTube right now and search for Naughty Ed. Just put in Naughty Ed. He comes up to the top. He has almost 1 million views now, Jamie.
I know. I was just looking at that, 909,013 views, and we'll see how many he has at the end of the show because this is video, and I'm excited to talk to Mandy and Ross because I am so angry watching this video, and I really think that they've had a lot of comments that are positive and negative about this pony, and basically it's your perfect, cute, little white pony, and this perfectly cute little kid is sitting on the pony. He's got his little flak jacket on. He's got his little helmet, and this is the evil. This pony is evil. I mean, dirty, evil. I just filthy, fucking him off, running him into fences. I, the one part where the pony actually lays down, I'm like, oh my gosh. So it'll be interesting. They say that there's a different side of Ed, but I have a hard time getting past this visible side of Ed, so we shall see what they have to say when they get it on the show.
Unfortunately, on the video, you can't hear the audio very well because she has that really cute music going. When Ed laid down, we'll have to make sure we ask Ross what he said because he made a comment, and it's just drop-dead hilarious. So we'll have to make sure we ask Ross what his comment – well, he actually, there's a couple of comments on there that you can't really hear, and I'm really excited to be able to hear what Ross's side of the story is. I talked to him yesterday, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was hilarious.
That's great. Now well, you know, we have so many people, Glenn, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have so many people that listen to this show recorded after we actually have the live show. So tell us what we're going to do for the people listening to the recorded version and that are Facebook friends.
All right, so anybody today that's listening to the show has an opportunity to win our daily prize, which is an Equestrian Collections gift certificate worth $50. You can spend at equestriancollections.com on anything you want. And what we're going to do a little bit different is all the callers, like usual today, will be entered in and into the drawing. But also, anybody who posts on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning will also be entered into the drawing. So if you're just listening here at home and you can't call, or you're at work and can't call, or you're in a barn, or you're listening to this recorded later in the day, if you post on our Facebook page before tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock when tomorrow's show starts, we will count you in that drawing and we'll make that announcement tomorrow about who won. So we want you to post on Facebook. Either do one of two things. Our call-in topic today is about breeds. Tell us what breed of horse you have and why you like them. That's a short and simple. Keep it to one paragraph. What breed of horse you like? If you have more than one, just tell us about one of them. And that's what we want you to call in about today. Tell us about what breed you have in your backyard and why you like them. Is it the personality? Is it the looks? You know, are they unique for whatever reason? Because we're going to do this on a fairly regular basis. We'll have what we're calling Breed Day, where you can call in and brag about your breed. So you can do that on Facebook, too. Just put one paragraph, put a picture of your horse up there. That would be great, too. You can do that right on Facebook, and you'll be entered in also to win the Equestrian Collections gift certificate worth $50. So everybody today has a chance.
And this also qualifies you for the grand prizes for the month, $500. So you get $50 today, and then you can win $500 to go shopping at equestriancollections.com, or you'll be entered to win the Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600, generously donated by worldequestrianbrands.com. So we do appreciate both of those being a part of our show.
Hey, I just found a story today that relates to yesterday's story. Remember the guy with the miniature horse in the back of his car? What was that miniature horse's name? Do you remember? Can't remember off the hand. But we had him on. He was a lot of fun, and there's all these, you know, people commenting. Well, he uses that miniature horse for therapy, remember? And he goes out and visits hospitals and things. Well, I found a story yesterday about a miniature horse that's being used in the United States, and they think it's the first guide pony to attend college. He's actually a guide pony instead of a guide dog. This 30-year-old blind student from Michigan State University uses Callie, one of a handful of miniature horses in the United States known to be used as a guide dog, a guide animal. Apparently there was some concern that Callie would make a mess, you know, the whole pooping peeing thing we talked about yesterday, or be a distraction at college, but apparently he's been great. He's very tidy. He gets along with a guide dog that's also in one of this person's classmates. So, you know, apparently it's going very well, and it's Mona Ramoni, apparently, is the student, and they're Jordanian immigrants, and the little miniature horse is the size of a large dog. But apparently the reason that the ponies are a little bit better is they're stockier. She can actually lean on the pony, where, you know, if you leaned on some of the dogs, they buckle. Whereas when she has to, she can lean on this pony, which kind of makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, hey, that is such a great idea. I really hope that more and more people are able to use miniature horses in this way. I never thought about the fact that, you know, as a person who's visually impaired, you want to kind of lean on your partner, and to have a bigger horse, that's amazing. But how incredible for a horse to become eyes for somebody. You know, we have a blind horse in the backyard, and we have to help him out all the time because he'll run into a fence, you know.
I wouldn't bring him to college with you. It probably wouldn't be good.
Yeah, no, he would not be very helpful at all. What a cool idea, though, to train a miniature to be, and I'm sure people do it, but Rascal yesterday, that was the guy we had on.
Oh, Rascal,
his
that's
tight, miniature, yeah, he had a very small miniature horse that he did tricks with, but that's totally different than being, you know, a seeing eye horse and a guide pony. What an interesting and cool thing. Sorry, I can't go on enough about it. I think it's very, very cool, and I hope it takes off.
All right. Well, I think we have a caller on here. It looks like Kim is calling in from Georgia about her favorite breed. Good morning, Kim. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. So
hey,
tell
Kim.
Us what your favorite breed
hey,
is.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we
Jamie?
Can hear you great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
hey,
I can hear you.
Perfect. Jamie has met my boy. He's a Appendix Quarter Horse in Loganville. Anyway, he's my favorite. His his grandfather was Dash for Cash, and his Thoroughbred side goes back to Olidar. So he's a great horse, and also he has started.
No breeding there, huh?
No, right. But he's a great boy. He is really super sweet, and that's the Dash for Cash. I've read up on it. But he still has a little bit of fire, but recently he has started he is a therapy horse. And without any training, when the little special needs boy got off balance, he automatically stopped. And he's just
so
awesome.
Cool.
I know.
Now,
yeah.
Kim, first of all, I haven't talked to you in years.
Right.
Kim boarded at the barn that I used to board at in Loganville, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. So, first of all, great to talk to you. That's fantastic.
Right here.
Second of all, I remember your horse. And, yes, he has Aladar. And, yes, he has Dash for Cash. But, yes, he is in no hurry to go anywhere.
Nowhere. That's right. Well, he was babysitting me because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. You were always so nice
Kim
to me.
Yeah, Kim was her first horse, an adult amateur rider. And, yes, your horse was in no hurry to go anywhere,
no,
if I recall.
None.
So.
Whatsoever.
Not
and. Yes, that was mainly because I was shaking a little bit because I was thrown off like the third time I rode him, which was my fault. But after that, so then he went to babysitting me. But he's better now. He doesn't babysit.
Well, that's great.
Well,
and
she rides my kind of horse. That's the same way Beaker is. Beaker is, you know, takes care of me. You know, if I do anything wrong, he just stops.
Right. Well,
Demir
was, she was having to circle around me when we were in the pasture because, you know, Diablo was walking slow and Demir was wanting to go. So I remember that. And also I want to make one comment.
That's great.
I think at the Pony 2, I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one that was kind of in fear watching those videos because as a mother, I was thinking if I was watching my child on that pony, I would be having a heart attack.
You'd shoot the pony.
Well, you know, I got to say, though, in defense of little bad ponies, isn't that where every good rider really starts to learn how to ride? If you can ride that nasty little pony, you're going to be able to ride anything. You're probably going to have a better Velcro seat. And you're going to be, you know, you're just going to be a little bit of a better rider later. And you know what? Kids at that age kind of bounce. They don't break
well,
so
he's
easy.
He's laughing.
So,
he is not affected
at
all.
Yeah, he's laughing the whole time.
Right. He thinks it's great fun. We're all watching going, oh, my gosh, and he's
just
laughing. Right, right.
Oh, it scared me to death. And
and that pony had all the tricks, too. Everything.
Right. Yes, very good. Oh, but anyway, Jamie, too, I was sorry that Zenyatta lost her race, but she's still the greatest. She's still Queen Zen.
She is. I'm excited to potentially, you know, a lot of times when horses retire, like I have a friend who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who set us up for the tour to go meet Big Brown. And I'm really hoping for that opportunity to go see Zenyatta. You know, you can call these farms ahead of time and you can, if you give them enough notice because they do fill up, they will actually let you come in and visit the horse and meet them. So if you call with enough in advance, call these farms. They will let you come in. So I'm excited to go meet her. I think it'll be great.
Oh, gosh, that'll be great. You'll have to post the pictures on Facebook.
It might be a while. don't look every day or anything.
Oh, well, it was great talking with you.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate you calling in and call back.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Kim.
There was Kim, and we have another caller on here today, too. It looks like Wayne Williams is calling in. Remember, we talked to Wayne a while back. He's a radio guy and an announcer across the country. Hi, Wayne. Are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing great. Sounds like you're on the road today. Almost sounds like you're in the
car. Yeah, I'm pulling over. Actually, it's one of those cool Wisconsin mornings, and I am heading over to the barn. Our barn is about a mile and a half from the house, and I'm heading over to feed our horses, so it's one of those got to do what you got to do days.
I have to jump in here. Glenn,
yes.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to predict what Wayne's kind of horse is, okay? Wayne, you know, I've seen pictures of you. You're always wearing the big cowboy hat. You know, you're out and about all the time. I'm going to go with Arabians.
Nope. Miniature. No, I'm no.
Miniature Arabians.
Miniature Arabian. No. Take a second guess.
All right, I'm going to get. Let me try. Hungarian Warmbloods.
Oh yeah, you're right on track. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're moving further to the east. You know. No, you guys have seen the picture. I have actually, we have two horses on in the younger set, we call them. We have a big, he's a paint, but he's Palomino. He's only paint because of a couple of white spotches under the belly. And he's a great big guy, 16-1, and he's my trigger. And then we have a buckskin. Pat has a buckskin named Denver, who is a buttermilk buckskin, so he is buttermilk. And that whenever we don our Roy Rogers Dale Evans tribute. I mean, we don't look a thing like them, but we can dress up like them. Like them. And we also do not claim to sing, but, you know, we can kind of pay tribute to some of the cowboy heroes we grew up with. Then we have the geriatric side, where we have two 28 years old and a 30-year-old, two Palomino mares that are 28 and 30, and a paint, medicine hat paint that's 28. So, we have the geriatric side, and we have the younger side.
I see.
Oh, well, that's
so now. Why do you like the Palominos? Why do you prefer them, or was this something that just happened?
Well, it's sort of about ingrained in me. I grew up on the west side of Indianapolis and started riding with a horse group. Actually, my grandfather and my father rode in this parade group, and I was a third generation. Actually, we all three rode together for a few years. And Palomino silver saddles, because it was patterned after Roy Rogers in his, quote, heyday, okay? And the Palomino thing just sort of stuck. You know, they're quarter horse, with the exception of this big guy that paints. They're all quarter horse first, but, you know,
right,
the Bucks
right.
are quarter horse, and the two Palomino mares are quarter horses. But just went stock-type horse, Palomino, and it was all patterned after Roy Rogers, and I kind of grew up with it, so it just sort of stuck, you know?
Right.
Well, first of all, let me say that I am absolutely shocked that you have quarter horses. I never would have guessed. second of all, my question is, did you hear our story yesterday that you're paying tribute to Trigger and Roy Rogers? Did you hear that they actually auctioned off the stuffed Trigger?
Yeah, they auctioned off. We had been down to the museum a year or two ago in Branson. They actually closed last December. Trust me, this is not, I don't have any inside knowledge here other than we kind of have kept up with it because we do pay tribute to them and have done our little tribute in parades. We even got a chance to do it in Las Vegas in 2002, which was kind of neat. But, they auctioned all that stuff. There was I had looked at getting rid of one of my parade saddles, and I had talked to an auction person in L.A., in Hollywood area, and he actually handled the Roy Rogers auction, which was in Denver a few months ago. And they sold saddles, they sold Trigger, they sold Bullet, they sold tons of stuff at this auction, and then the funds went back to the family.
Did you bid?
Now, did they? Did you bid on Trigger? No.
Did they? No.
What, 200,000? Was that at your price range there, Wayne? It was,
it might as well have been 2 million. The check wouldn't have cleared anyway. So it would have just, you know. it was out of my price range. But they did have a big auction in Denver where, and I guess from what I heard, that Roy's wishes to the family ran the museum. I mean, when we were there, Dusty, the son, who bills himself as Roy Jr., was actually had a singing group, and they had a little theater, and after you toured the museum about three times a day, they did a show, and they would sing, you know, some of the old Sons of the Pioneers type songs, and then he would tell stories about growing up, you know, with Roy and Dale, and then the grandkids were running the concession stand. I mean, it was truly a family-run business. But apparently Roy had said before he died, you know, whenever this thing quits making money, close it. That's his wish. And if you think about it, and I'm not trying to give my age away, but as you think about it, you know, most of the people that grew up watching Roy would be, they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do, but next June, his birthday was either June or July. I'm trying to remember. Maybe I'm wrong. But in 2011, he would be 100.
Oh my gosh.
Roy would be 100 next year. So if you think about it, most of the people that grew up watching Roy are getting older now themselves. And the younger, we do this tribute, and there's people, you know, 30 years old on the street going, now who are you again? They don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I didn't even think about it, but if you're under 60 or 70, you didn't watch him live. You know, you didn't watch it when it came out. You watched recorded maybe.
Yep. His movies were all made in the 40s and early 50s, and his TV show went off the air in 61 or 62. So if you're 50 years old or under, you never saw him, unless it was a remake.
Well, unless you had, you know, my dad who watched him every Saturday morning and had the entire family watch Roy every Saturday morning. So I absolutely remember, of course, it certainly wasn't live, but, you know, my dad, 60-something, I'm not probably allowed to say, and he is a huge Roy Rogers fan. So, you know, it's where you grow up and who you grow up with and the introductions that you have into that kind of thing.
You know, you're right. I grew up, I am what you call a true baby boomer. My dad got out of the Navy in World War II, and as quick as he could come home, marry my mother, I came popping along. And I grew up watching Roy, but, you know, I also grew up with some of the, you know, I still have a soft spot for big band music. Why? Because that's all my parents played when I was a kid. So, you know, those things stick. If your parents are into it, you're exposed to it when you're younger, you know, it's a part of you. You have your own things, that your own likes you develop as well, but those other things that came in that upbringing stick with you, you know, the rest of your life. And at least you know who Roy and Dale were. And really, they haven't been gone that long. I mean, Roy died in 98, I think, and Dale in like 2000 or 2001. So it hasn't been, you know, a horribly long time, you know, that they've been gone. But, you know, I was just going to say,
I forgot that you did that, you know, I had forgot that you do those shows.
Tribute.
Yeah. Well, we come out in costume, do a little music, have a couple of Roy and Dale songs and just pay tribute because, you know, I have a theory about this, and you know, back in the days of the real working cowboys in the 1800s, early 1900s, without the communications, the electronics we have today, you know, when you told somebody, I'll see you back here in 7 months, you had to remember that for 7 months. Your word had to be good. There was no way to contact them, call them, you know, say, hey, I'm going to be a day late. I mean, that was not it. You were going to be back there when you said, after a cattle drive, after whatever you were doing. And because of the lack of communication, there was a cowboy code. There was a code of ethics that you had to live by because your word was all you had out there. And you couldn't change that word at a whim by picking up a cell phone and changing the score, which we can do today. When those cowboys left us, when we moved into the modern era, those lessons were not being taught. The silver screen cowboys that came in, the Gene Autrys, the Hopalong Cassidys, the Roy Rogers, who had his 10 writers' rules and all this, even though they were more of a drugstore variety cowboy, they still taught these lessons. Okay, they still taught fair play. You know, kiss your horse, not the girl, but whatever. They taught these lessons. Okay, and it was still values we were being taught. Now they're all gone, and I'm still looking. And this is part of what we do in the tribute to who is going to pick up the ball and continue to teach those values. We don't have anybody, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're absolutely right. And we have you on our list. Well, Wayne, thank you for calling in today. We appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
And do call us again. You know, you have so many stories, and I want to mention to everybody that you can find Wayne on speakingofhorses.com. He does his own radio and online TV show over there. And I still hate you for your voice. You know that, don't you?
Don't worry about it, Glenn. Give it another 30, 40 years. It'll settle right in.
take us out singing some happy trails, if you don't mind. Little happy trails to wrap it up.
What, me? Do you want me to sing? Oh, geez. Happy trails to you until we meet again. How's that?
Yay!
Hey, next call in, I have a real good trivia story about that song, okay?
Okay,
all right, good.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Well, there's Wayne Williams. You can find him at speakingofhorses.com. That was nice of him to call in. And I had totally forgotten that he does those tributes. We just had that conversation yesterday. So that's neat.
Yeah, I had no idea. That was very cool. That was nice of Wayne to call in. I'm shocked he didn't call in yesterday when we broke the story, you know, but I could totally imagine Wayne actually bidding on Trigger. I could see that.
Yes, and I can. And, you know, he says he can't sing, but he has a good voice. So,
I don't know. Yeah, I thought he had a couple of really good notes.
I know.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a humble guy, too. He's been around in this industry forever, and it's very nice that he listens in and gives us a call every once in a while. We appreciate that. Well, next we're going to try and get on the line here. They're from England, actually. Mandy is the grandmother, right, Jennifer, of Ross?
Yes.
Okay, so we have Mandy and Ross, and this is of Ed the Naughty Pony fame. If you haven't had a chance to watch the YouTube video, we'll post it on our website at horsesinthemorning.com, or you can hop on over YouTube and just search for Naughty Ed. It'll come up to the top. But we have to do this a little bit differently today, so I'm going to leave you two to chat, and I'm going to see if I can actually get her on the line right now, and we'll hope that this all works. It's the first time we're actually making an international call using this system. So you two can chat. Have a nice time, and I'll see what I can figure out here.
Okay, well, Jennifer, I'll go ahead and tell you that our sponsor this half hour, we have to do it, it's EasySignsOnline.com. And, of course, you know, I just actually ordered my farm signs from EasySignsOnline.com with the holidays. What'd you say?
I said that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And, of course, the proprietor of Easy Signs Online is Glenn's brother, and he actually sent me some pictures that you must see. If you go to Facebook and you search for Horses in the Morning, you will see pictures of Glenn and Jennifer that are very exciting. They were on the Aerosmith roller coaster, and it was the photo taken right as they hit 60 miles an hour from zero. So anyway, you got to go look at that.
It's gently embarrassing. Yeah.
Gently embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. And what's funny is he's in the picture too, and it's a ridiculous picture of him too.
Yes.
He might look the worst. Well, anyway, with the holidays fast approaching, it's time to start thinking about that unique gift this year for that special someone. And an affordable and durable personalized sign is a gift that will be appreciated for many years to come. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see many custom style options and styles. The step-by-step sign ordering process, it's actually really easy. It allows you to choose your sign options. You see all the pricing up front. They have vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to for farm entrance signs. They have any kind of sign that you need, they've got your need covered. With a sign to suit everyone's budget, gift giving has never been so easy and fun. This week's special is 10% off all listed prices and free shipping. So plan your shopping now to take advantage of this special offer today. That's EasySignsOnline.com.
Hey, Jamie, can you get into Facebook and check the YouTube and see how many hits we've had since we started the show on Naughty, Mr. Ed?
Let me go do that right now. Do you want to get the call?
I'm going to take a caller. I'll be right back.
Okay. Let's see. YouTube.com. I'm in here all by myself. This is crazy. So Naughty Ed, when we first started, had like 900. Let's see. Naughty Ed has 909,013 views. I highly suggest that you guys go look at this real quick to see Naughty Ed, because we are going to talk to Naughty Ed's owner and rider, and it's actually quite unbelievable.
Jamie, I am back, and I think I have. I hope that I have her with us right now. So, Mandy, can you hear us?
I can. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Well, we are so happy to have you on here, and we appreciate you joining us. Now, tell us, let's start at the beginning. This video was put together. It wasn't just one right after another of Ed being naughty. So let's start at the beginning. At what age did Ross get Ed?
When he was five. He was 5 years old, and he was on a lead rein for a good year. But he then, being a boy, coming up to six, he wants off the lead rein. So that's what we did. We felt he was comfortable. He was able to walk, trot, canter, on Ed, on a long lunge. So we released him off his lead rope. But the only trouble was then was Ed wanted to do what he wanted to do, not what Ross wanted him to do, and so they would have these little battles. But Ross at no time ever said that he didn't want to ride Ed no more. I personally didn't, or his mum, want him to ride Ed. But, no, there was no getting from it. He wanted to keep Ed. He wanted to carry on riding Ed.
Well, and obviously, you know, as we said before, these were taken off of a year or more's worth of bad Ed moments. Ed actually had some good moments, too.
He was a wonderful little pony. He did have some attitude, but Ross would just sit there, and he would ride the battle, and he'd say, "I'm winning, man, I'm winning."
Aww.
Well, that's funny, because most of the time Ross was laughing, you know. Which,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd see that.
He said at the one point when Ed is doing his little dance of up and down and whatever, and Ross is looking at me and he's smiling and he's laughing. And the sweetest thing is he says, "Look, man, I'm like a cowboy."
Now, I heard, Jennifer had talked to you for a little bit. Ed is no longer part of the family. What happened with Ed now? Is he still part of the family? Or?
No, he's he went to a lovely family as a lead rein pony only. And the grandfather wanted to train him to pull a small cart. They understand the situation, how I found it, that Ed on a lead rein was like a little puppy. He'd follow you around like a little tiny little puppy, and he wouldn't leave your side, and he would definitely not do anything wrong.
That's funny. So now, what I wanted to ask you was, you had Ed for a period of time. You decided to put this video up on YouTube. Did you ever imagine in your life that it would hit 1 million views?
Oh, my gosh, no. No, the video clips that were actually put together without the music was to show a trainer that, look, he can be naughty. Can you do anything? But whenever a trainer came out, I sent him away to a new yard to be reschooled. And they phone me up 3 days and says, Mandy, he's perfect. There's nothing we can do. We can't fix something that's not broken. So that's why I put the video together to show, look, this is what he can do. But it just turns out that was just how Ed was. And Ross had, I've got hours and hours of film of Ross of Ed being good. And I've only got 3 minutes of him being naughty. So it says something. I know not a lot, but yeah, he was not naughty all of the time.
Now, I have to say that, you know, there are many people out there like me who completely feel your pain because my horse will be so bad. And then you go to do a clinic or you go to take a riding lesson and they're just perfect little angels in front of them. And you're like, no, he's usually really bad, I swear. And no, you're crazy. It must be you because your horse is perfect. They lie.
Well, that's right. We had a trainer come to the yard. And he was an ex-jockey, so he was very small. He was able to get on Ed. He rode Ed. He was there for the whole day. He watched Ross riding. And his words were, at the end of it all, you've got a perfect pony. And that trainer wouldn't take any money from me.
That's funny. That's
perfect.
Well, you know, and it is amazing how this video has just gone so viral. And I'm sure you get calls from people like us all the time wanting to chat about it. And now, how old is Ross right now? We're going to talk to Ross here in just a minute, but how old is he right now?
Ross is 9.
All right.
He's still riding. He's got a pony called Pip, which is, by the way, as I discovered, you like Palominos. Pip is a Dapples Palomino.
Oh, wow, cool. He must be pretty.
Yes. Look, yeah.
Does Pip stay upright and not roll and dump him off on a regular basis? Is that...
No. What Ed taught Ross a few weeks ago, Ross came out riding through on the roads and whatever, and I was with him all the way. And we came to a high fence with we didn't know at the time that there was a dog behind this fence, and it jumped up and it started barking. It spooked Pip to the point of fight or flight, but within seconds, Ross, he spooked right over to the left. Ross stayed perfectly seated, and he calmed the situation down within seconds.
See, that's what I was telling you, Jamie.
He learned that from Ed.
Yes, that's right. He learned that from Ed. That's exactly right.
Ed.
Yeah.
Well, let's say hi to Ross, and then we'll get you on after Ross to say goodbye. But let's say hi to Ross.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Ross. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Did you ever think that you would be one of the most popular people on the internet?
No.
Now, you obviously still ride. Was there ever a point with little Ed that you said, I'm not going to ride this pony anymore, or were you just up there having fun?
I was just having fun.
Were you? Well, now,
you
stayed on. You have a heck of a little seat there. You stayed on through some major bucks. Are you planning on going into the rodeo now?
Yeah, like the cowboy.
You do have a good seat. You did very well. I mean, you stayed on that pony when that pony was bucking away.
I love him so much. He's a really good boy.
Hey, Ross, I want to ask you, I got to watch, when I was watching the video, I watched your pony. I mean, he would run and stop and throw his head down and pull you over his neck, flip you on the ground. But I want to know what you said to him and thought when he laid down.
When he rolled.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, oh, man, video this. Because it's like cool. Yeah.
Video this, Mom. Well, and you never got tired of Ed's antics? You never get tired of just him bucking you off?
Pardon?
Did you ever get tired of him bucking you off? I mean, did you ever get tired of it and go, I just don't want to do this anymore?
No, I just went back on him and just showed him who's the boss.
That's great. That's great.
So what do you hope to do? You're a rider, obviously. What do you hope to do? Are you going to be in Pony Club over there?
Jumping.
Jumping? You're going to be a jumper?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific.
I'm kind of about to adopt me as well.
Oh, really? Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, good luck with your riding. And, you know, best of luck with Pip. It sounds like Pip's going to take care of you a little better than Ed did.
Yeah.
Well, let's best of luck. We'll talk to Mandy here a little bit again, and then we'll let you go.
All right. So, hi.
Well, it sounds like, you know, he has a perfect handle on all of this. There's no reason to be worried about Ross.
Oh, no. He has learned that, like with Pip and with Ed, that they do have minds of their own and be prepared for the unexpected. And with Ed, that was what he was always like, be prepared.
Well, you know, it's what I said before you came on the line. I said, that's where most riders that learn to be good riders, they start on a naughty little pony. And that's, you know, you're not falling very far, so you're not hurting yourself bad. They bounce at that age. The kids just bounce. So, and, you know, they learn how to have that Velcro seat, how to really be able to sit a buck. And that's where you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd also like to say that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And so he did have a soft landing. It was always like in the menage, which with a full riding hat, body protection. You know, he was fully protected as best as you can. But riding is a dangerous sport. We all know that. And but if he did want to ride Ed, he had to be fully protected.
Yeah. Well. Well, you know, we're glad you put the video up. I don't know. Did you have another question, Jamie?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I guess that more than anything, if he does ever go out and become an eventer, that he has learned officially to sit back and keep your heels down. Is that the best, biggest lesson for him? Is sit back, keep your heels down?
Well, let's just say I'll be playing that video. It's his 21st birthday, and that's his bachelor party.
I bet you will, too,
Mandy. And at his wedding.
I bet you will. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you being on the show with us this morning, and best of luck.
Thank you all, and you Americans are very lucky to have a fabulous radio station like this.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Of course, as you learned this morning, you can listen to us over there, so tell everybody.
I shall do. It's already on my Facebook page.
All right, great. Thank you, Amy.
Okay. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Ross.
Bye.
That's Mandy and Ross of Naughty Ed fame, the pony, and we appreciate them being on the show with us today. Well, we're going to be back here shortly. We have Fran Yerga's Almanac, Horse Almanac, coming up. But first, we have the news from Chris. So let's hear the news from Chris today.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Horse Aid Live and the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance have formed a working partnership to increase both organizations' impact on the unwanted, homeless, and at-risk horse populations. The organizations will remain separate entities, yet both realize that the solution for a national network of sustained shelters to protect this increasing population of at-risk horses can only be attained by a positive, cohesive, and industry-wide initiative. The organizations believe that working together will allow them to better utilize each other's resources and funding and have a much greater impact on unwanted and at-risk horses. The Equine Health and Welfare Alliance and its network of veterinarians and other like-minded organizations will help ensure Horse Aid Live funding is granted to creditable organizations. Horse Aid Live helps the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance with promotion, education, and exposure for protection and fundamental equine care issues throughout its events. Two junior riders, the Bruheim sisters, Erin and Linny, received top accolades in both the hunter and jumper rings at the Great Southwest Autumn Classic in Katy, Texas. Erin kicked the week off with a double clear win in the $5,000 1m35 open jumper class with NLF Transatlantic. Erin then continued her success in the open jumper divisions when she competed with her sister's horse, NLF Valhall, in the $5,000 1m25 mini prix. Erin followed that with a third place in the $10,000 1m40 classic with Cicero 75. Her sister Lenny moved up to the low junior amateur owner jumpers with the NLF Valhall, where the pair placed sixth for their first effort showing in more difficult divisions as she prepares for the 2011 showing season. Lenny also moved up to the 3'3" junior amateur owner hunter division with NLF Casabella. After earning a first place ribbon, a second place ribbon, and two third place ribbons, the pair earned the reserve championship title as well. You can hear an interview with the Bruheim sisters on the current episode of the Jumping Radio Show. The Buffalo Therapeutic Riding Center hosted a teaching clinic with George Morris from November 12th through 14th, with 16 riders in groups of intermediate, advanced, and jumpers. In its 12th year, George focused on the basics of riding, good riding habits, solid horsemanship, and the foundations of equitation. Beyond being a learning experience for riders, the clinic raised funds to help the Buffalo Therapeutic Riding Center give local youth the unforgettable gift of horses. The clinic was organized by Susie Schulkopf, Executive Director of the Buffalo Therapeutic Riding Center and Head Trainer of SBS Farms, Inc. at the Buffalo Equestrian Center. Naomi Martin of Brooks, Oregon, has been selected as the recipient of the 2010 United States Dressage Federation Youth Volunteer of the Year Award, presented by the Paddock Saddlery and sponsored by the USDF Youth Programs Advisory Subcommittee. The award honors an outstanding youth volunteer who has contributed on a national and local basis to USDF and dressage. Naomi will also receive a $500 scholarship provided from funds raised through the Youth Silent Auction held annually at the Adequan USDF Annual Convention, plus a $250 gift certificate donated by the Paddock Salary. 16-year-old Naomi has selflessly volunteered nearly 100 hours to USDF recognized competitions and assisted show management in every aspect from setting up arenas to show office work. Naomi was nominated for the Youth Volunteer of the Year Award by Gay McCabe of Region 6. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning! Oh, what a beautiful day! I've got a beautiful feeling! Horses are coming my way! You're listening to Horses in the Morning!
Ready?
Well, this is Glenn and a Geek and Jamie Jennings back, and we are back with you here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate Mandy and Ed stopping by. That was terrific. Wasn't that fun?
That was, and it's good to hear from their perspective that the reason they took all these videos of Ed being naughty was simply because they wanted to prove it to the trainers that he was bad, although I don't know if I would have let that go on as long as it did, maybe, but I guess they have their reasons, and they got him situated, and they sold him to a lead line home, so nobody else is going to have to deal with naughty Ed.
Well, and it sounds like Ross is well adjusted. It doesn't sound like he got bonked on the head too many times, so I think we're fine. Ross sounded fine to me. We want to encourage everybody to give us a call. You can call us at 347-637-3238. Tell us what breed horse you have in the backyard. Tell us why you like that particular breed. We're taking calls on that. Or if you had an Ed in your life, if you had that naughty pony when you were a kid, give us a call about that as well. We'd love to hear from you about either one. We're here till 10:30 Eastern. And right now we have up with us Fran Yerga's Horse Almanac. She's coming on with us every couple of weeks to talk a little bit about what's going on in history. Hi, Fran.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
Good morning. So tell us what's new in history today.
Have I got news for you?
Where
do you want to go in history? I was thinking about we wouldn't go too far back this morning. Do you know that I was looking at the Hollywood history? Do you know that it was just 30 that we can look at the history and do you remember Dances with Wolves? That was the biggest grossing Western ever. I was looking at that. Do you remember Sisko? I think he might be my favorite flavor of horse ever. You remember the horse in
that
movie?
Buckskin. The Buckskin. Sisko, Kevin Costner's horse.
I think when he died in that movie, that was one of the most tragic moments ever in the history of movies. And
Fran. You spoiled it for everybody now. You know, now everybody knows Sisko didn't make it to the end of the movie. Oh, wait a second.
But
that came out 20 years ago, right?
Everyone's seen that movie.
Now, that was one of our favorites looking at
that movie. Everyone's seen it 10 times. But
Except for Glenn, apparently.
I got to admit, you can send me emails. I didn't. I fell asleep about a half an hour into that movie. I've tried to watch it 2 times now. I thought it was one of the most boring movies ever made and never got to the end of it. It must be a chick flick. I can't do
Glenn.
It.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. Send me emails to glenn@horseradionetwork.com. I'm sorry. I couldn't do Dances with Wolves. But, Jamie, it's one of your favorites, though, right?
Well, you know what's funny, Glenn, is that I guess the reason Fran brought it up is it happened this time in 1990. The premiere of Dances with Wolves started, and I mean, I saw it opening weekend. I was so excited to see, oh my gosh, Kevin Costner and a horse. Hello, that's like the greatest thing ever. You know what? Right now, when it comes on, I watch the first half. The first half is like the greatest movie of all time. The second half makes me cry. So I can't watch the second half of it anymore. I cry every single time, and I just don't need to see, you know, them bumped off and the you know, mean white people taking over the Native Americans' land. I don't need to see it again.
All right, what's next for you?
I've got another one for you. 40 years ago, 1960, my math isn't too good this morning, The Spanish Riding School came to New York, and that was the first time they came to New York to thank the United States for rescuing them in World War II, and of course they've come several times since then, and that was a very, very poignant moment, and they performed at the National Horse Show in Madison Square Garden, and hopefully they're going to come back, you know, in a few years again now. But I just thought that was, really special thing. It was their first time of going on tour. And they came to thank the United States for rescuing them. And, of course, that was the subject of another movie. That was the Disney movie. And we can think about all the different things that have been done there, you know, that the Spanish Riding School has inspired so many people. And that was, you know, reality, that they came right into New York and right, you know, before there was television and before anyone had actually seen them, they came into New York City and people marched into Madison Square Garden to see them for themselves.
Hey, Fran, have you ever seen the Spanish Riding School perform?
Yes, I certainly have. They came in 2005, and then I saw them in Vienna as well.
Yeah.
Their last United States tour was canceled, but hopefully they'll have another one soon. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's phenomenal. I also took the trip to Vienna when I was about 25 years old, and I had my first real radio job, and I had a real money, and then I had this thing called paid vacation. I was like, you're going to pay me to take vacation? Really? So then I booked a trip and went to Vienna because I'd always wanted to see Vienna and the Spanish Riding School. And it was, they weren't doing shows. They were just practicing. It was the end of February, right when they'd opened back up, and got to go see them perform. And if anybody, it's like a pilgrimage to go to Vienna and go see the Spanish Riding School and the building and the history. It's phenomenal. So I think everybody should do it.
And, you know, now if you go, you can actually see a woman. There's a woman.
I know.
In
they got their first
riding school.
I think it's about
time.
And
I think
what else happened?
I was trying to remember, too, just to add this. I think that the movie that you were talking about, if I remember correctly, was Majestic White Horses, wasn't it?
No. Majestic White Horses was the IMAX film.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you got it.
And,
yep.
You know, it's terrible. I can't think of the name of the Disney film.
We'll dig it out.
We'll dig it out.
Maybe somebody will call in with the name of the Disney film, but I'm just lost it. But anyway,
all right.
Finally, I want to take you way back in history, and I wanted to test you. And there's a little town near where I live in Massachusetts called Medford, Massachusetts. That's like very famous because two of the most famous seasonal songs that we're all going to be singing very soon were written there. And they were both written at Thanksgiving time, this very time of the year, by two different people, one in 1844 and one in 1857. Can you name them?
I have a guess. I'm going to say Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving songs?
No.
I don't even know any Thanksgiving songs. I would say You're a grand old flag we are proud of. I don't know. That's an old song, right?
I don't know if I know a Thanksgiving song.
There's only one.
Oh, well, God.
We need more hints, Fran. What do you do on Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Don't you get it?
Play bells ring. Are you listening? Doodling.
You're very close. Don't you go somewhere? Don't you go?
To Grandma's house?
Yeah.
Over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house we go.
I guess that one. Jingle
Bells. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow.
That's Jingle Bells, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I can't figure out how they came up with white and drifted snow on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, anyway, that's the song.
That's the song here in Massachusetts. We have white and drifted snow.
I think
snow.
We had snow when we lived in Massachusetts in June, Fran. I can see how they came up with that.
Yeah, so is it Jingle Bells or is it over the river and the other one?
The other one is Jingle Bells, which was originally just called The One Horse Open Sleigh. And that was written for Thanksgiving, also in Medford, Massachusetts.
I didn't know that.
So I'm thinking that Medford, Massachusetts, in the 1800s, there must have been a serious climate problem. We must have been through a major climate change. And at Thanksgiving time, it must have been snowy. And they wrote these two songs. Both of which were written at Thanksgiving time, both of which talk about horses going through the snow. So I want everyone to realize that those two songs were written for Thanksgiving. Well, the Over the River and Through the Woods actually mentions Thanksgiving. But originally it was to Grandfather's house. And the house is still there in Medford, Massachusetts. It's a National Historical Landmark, and you can actually see it. But I'm really surprised that Jingle Bells was written as a Thanksgiving song. That was quite a revelation to me.
Well, look what you learn here on Horses in the Morning. I'll tell you what, I didn't know that. Well, Fran, we appreciate you joining us again. Hey, I wanted to say one thing here. I want to encourage everybody before the day's over to head over to Fran's blog, and you have to tell me which one it's on. I saw it this morning. I don't remember. You have a video of Edward Gow and Tortoise.
That was done at
the palace. But tell us which blog they can find it on.
That is my blog that's on equisearch.com. That's called The Yerger Report. And you can find that by going to equisearch.com, and they have a series of blogs there, and you'll just find it right there on the top of the blogs. And
just search
for it, and just you have to see that video. They made a music video as a tribute to him at the Royal Palace there. Pretty special, isn't it?
All right. Fran, before we
thanks
go,
so
my Google fingers, we did the walk-in, and it's Miracle of the White Stallions is the Disney movie
that has
the Spanish Riding School. Well,
with
I figured
Eddie
it out.
Albert,
so,
right.
Yeah, I couldn't have told you that, but I did get the movie title. Well, Fran, thanks so much for being a part of the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye. And we have Michelle on the phone too, Glenn, simply because we talked about favorite breeds and people want to call in, huh?
Yes, they do. So, Michelle, I have a guess. If this is the Michelle I think it is, what her favorite breed is.
Hey, guys.
Are you there,
I
Michelle?
I was just listening. Yeah, hey.
Well, it says here Michelle has a favorite breed, so I knew that you had to be calling in about a certain breed that we used to own one of. I don't know if I lost her or not.
Michelle?
Michelle, you there? Oh, I think we may have lost Michelle.
Well, that's a bummer. She held on forever.
Yeah. Well, I know. She wanted to talk about, and I don't know if she'll come back here. She's not showing she's off the air. It sounded like she was on her cell phone. She wanted to talk, I think, about the Cleveland Bay because she loves Cleveland Bays. Are you there, Michelle?
Hi, Glenn.
Are you there?
Was he right?
Yes.
Am I right, Cleveland Bay?
Yes. Yes. It's probably going to be hard to hear. It's really windy out here. I thought I was just on hold. I didn't know I was going to get to talk to you all this morning.
Well, we also want to give a shout-out to Gabriel in Texas, who loved Cleveland Bays, too. So apparently she was listening, but she couldn't hold on. She had called it.
Yeah,
so
Gabriel
tell us
had
why
to go take Helen to school.
Well, tell us why a Cleveland Bay is so special.
Well, first off, they're rare. There's only about 700 purebreds in the world, and they're very laid back. They're smart. They're quiet. They're very sound, and they have big ears.
So they're cute.
I love the big ears.
Yes, they have big ears, and they are very cute, even if people call them mules sometimes.
So, Michelle, I have a question. I'm not familiar with the breed Cleveland Bay at all. I mean, I know that they're big, giant bay horses. What do they do? What can you do any sport with them? Are they versatile? Do they just focus on, you know, Cleveland Bay stuff? I don't know.
These horses are very versatile. That's one of the hallmarks of the breed. We have riders that are fox hunting them, that are showing them jumpers, that are eventing. Lainey Ashker was riding a partbred for a while at four-star level. Gosh, they do everything. I ride mine side saddle. I've done extreme cowboy races on her in my English tack. We event. We have several horses that are competing quite nicely at dressage. I think one of our riders just got her silver medal. They really... whatever you want to do. You know, I'd take mine out in an event, and then the next week I wanted to go to Upperville, so I spent a couple of days riding her like a hunter, and there we go. They're so level-headed. They just keep their feet on the ground. It's nice.
Is it a good horse husband kind of horse?
Yeah, they can be a little belligerent. So you have to be positive about where you want to go and how you want to get there. Ricky rides Emma sometimes. He's just afraid she's going to jump something. But yeah, they certainly are big enough to carry, you know, the larger frame of a man. And a lot of men ride them. They're good for everybody.
Okay.
They're not little kids. Sometimes don't have the body, you know, to back up what they say. But I love them.
I've talked to you before, and I've talked to other Cleveland Bay owners, and I, you know, I want to stress that you have said that sometimes they can have a mind of their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
Now, Michelle, would it be accurate to say that when you work with your Cleveland Bays, especially when they're young, you ask your Cleveland Bay to try something new and talk about it versus tell your Cleveland Bay to try something new?
Oh, my goodness. There are several people that I know that say exactly the same thing, and certainly bloodlines that seems to be the case more so than others. And you better keep it interesting, because their little minds will wander, and they like something new and they like something different, which is why I think the fox hunting and the eventing is such a good thing for them.
Yeah. Now, we're taking your calls on your favorite breed, what's in your backyard, and why. And Michelle, obviously, calling in about the Cleveland Bay. We'll take your calls at 347-637-3238. And, Michelle, any other breed that you are fond of? Because, you know what? Actually, let me back up. What it sounds like to me, because I have one of these, is it sounds like the Cleveland Bay is like the athletic basset hound of the horse world.
Oh, funny you should say that. I grew up with a basset hound. I love basset hounds.
That's too funny.
So my ears point up instead of down.
But you're saying
belligerent. And their legs are a little longer.
Yeah.
You're saying big ears, they're kind of belligerent. You have to ask them to do something. You can't tell them. Because if you tell my basset hound to do something, you try to put a collar on, a leash on her, she just lays down. She's like, rolls over. I'm not going. You take her for a drag.
So
it's kind of like the same.
Gosh, what a fabulous analogy. I love that. That I'm going to definitely put that out, because that's just the greatest.
We need to have a call-in show on the breeds and what their equivalent is in the dog world. We could just take that out to almost every breed, I think.
Oh, I think that'd be a great show.
All right, we'll do that one for sure. Write that one down.
Thank you, Michelle. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
Well, that was Michelle. We appreciate her calling in and to talk about the Cleveland Bays. Now, Jennifer, if I remember correctly, we owned one of them.
Well, we had one. What did we call him? Pharaoh. And he was one of the school horses when we were up in New England. And he didn't belong to us, but he helped us earn our living. Yeah.
That's correct. I remember that he was in our life somehow.
Yeah, he was awesome. He didn't come into our lives until he was in his late 20s. And he was the most amazing school horse. Obviously, in his late 20s, when we got him in, we had him for maybe a week, and I took him out and hunted him. I just took him out in the backfield just because I had no clue what he'd do. We knew nothing about the horse except that he'd been trail ridden. That was the complete, and that's all we knew about the animal. Didn't even know he was a Cleveland Bay at the time. The people said, well, he's a Cleveland Bay, and I'm going, yeah, really? Because the likelihood is very small. He had no papers or anything like that. Took him out. He was an absolute expert in the hunt field. I'm going, okay, so this horse has done this before. And there wasn't anything we tried with that horse that he said, oh, sure, I can do that. The kids played horsey soccer on him in camp. And the kids would sit on the ponies, and the instructor would stand in the middle, and they would basically play soccer, but instead of kicking the ball, they threw it to each other. And the horse had an awesome time. He was great with it. And he was just a great, great, great old guy. And we found out a little bit later on in the relationship, after we had him for a little while, that indeed he was a long-lost Cleveland Bay. When we contacted the registry, they said, oh, my gosh, this horse kind of fell off the map because his papers didn't go with him when he was sold. And there you go. It was pretty cool, and I have a great admiration for the breed.
All right.
Well, we actually just got an email from Karen, who says, she must be listening to the show this morning. She says, FYI, favorite horse movies of mine, Man from Snowy River, Flicka, Hidalgo, and Horse Whisperer, and an oldie, National Velvet. There's one we didn't bring up. All of these shows and movies had talented horses. I remember their horses instead of the actors. On Saturday mornings, this will sound familiar to you, Jamie. On Saturday mornings when I was a kid, I would watch Furry, My Friend Flicka, Lone Ranger, Roy Rogers. All had great horses. And don't forget Champion, Gene Autry's horse. Saturday house cleaning didn't happen until those shows were over. So thank you for writing in there, Karen. And we want to remind everybody that the daily prize for today is open to everybody, not just callers. you can win a $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections by hopping on over to our Facebook page before 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning. And you can post on there, just post what breed you have and why you like it. One paragraph, that's all we're asking. And everybody that posts on Facebook at Horses in the Morning at our page will be qualified to win the $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. And put a picture up there. That would even be better of the horse and the breed that you're talking about. We would love that, too. So what's your favorite, Janie? We didn't talk about that.
Oh, gosh. You know, we have five different types of horses out of the five horses that we have in my backyard right now. We have a Hackney Pony, we have a Quarter Horse, we have a Paint, we have a Thoroughbred, and a Warm Blood. So we kind of cover the gamut as far as the types of horses that we have. My Warm Blood, I call him a Warm Blood. He's actually technically, I think, a Belgian Warm Blood or some Belgian Warm Blood. I have no idea because he's a gelding. I never went through the registry and all that kind of stuff, just like Jennifer was talking about. His papers never came to me, but what he is, he's more of a Warm Blood mutt. I know he's half Tricaner and he's like a quarter Dutch and a quarter something and a quarter this, quarter that, and it makes him a Belgian Warm Blood. Whatever, that's fine. And I love him to pieces. He's an awesome, awesome horse. However, I think my heart has and always will belong to the Thoroughbred. There is just, to me, there's no other horse that is versatile and fun and fast and athletic and all that you can do. And before I had my Warm Blood, who I didn't mean to purchase, it just kind of came to me, I had a horse from the age of 10 to 28, and he was a Thoroughbred and X-race horse, and I got him when I was 10 years old, and he was like my brother. That horse went through everything with me. His name is Marche, and he went through everything with me. And when we had to put him down, about killed me because, you know, it's like a family member. 18 years I was lucky enough to have him, and he taught me to event, and he taught me, I mean, I barrel raced him. I rode him bareback. I rode him in the backyard, you know. So the Thoroughbred, I think, will always have the biggest place in my heart. What about you, Glenn?
Well, I think everybody that listens to me over the last 2 years knows what my favorite breed is, for sure. It's the big black ones. They come in white, too, but I do like Percherons. They're probably my favorite. I just love the big draft breeds, but I especially like Percherons. Every Percheron we've owned has been quiet, has been, you know, they'll take care of you. They step on your toes, and you know, they're so apologetic. And by the way, you only want them to step on your toes once because it really hurts when you have 2,000 pounds stepping on your toes. And, you know, it is amazing that they are as gentle as they are considering their size. You know, I've talked about Percherons on and off for a long time, and I will own Percherons again one day. I would love to drive Percherons. I've never had the opportunity to drive them. We owned them, but we rode them. We never drove them, so we wanted to be. We never could afford the carriage and the harness and everything at the time we owned the Percherons because it gets expensive and drive. You think riding's expensive? Well, driving's, you know, expensive also. So, the Percheron would be my choice, and I think Jennifer would have to agree with you. Her choice is definitely a Thoroughbred. I'm pretty confident in saying that anyway.
Well, you're probably right. Yeah, and it's funny because when you said Jamie about how versatile your Thoroughbred was, because they're my favorite flavor of horse, too. A particular Thoroughbred came to mind back when I was a little kid. There was a gal who lived nearby us, and it was very common practice where we lived in Pennsylvania to buy off-the-track Thoroughbreds by way of the unpleasant auctions that frequently happened, because that's where a lot of them ended up. They ended up at the meat auctions. And a gal that we got to know a little bit because she rode in the same shows we did, by the name of Miss Gilbert, bought one off the meat line by the name of Tweed Coat. And he became a champion barrel racer. He went to the state championship level, OTTB, right off the meat truck, took him home, did his thing. And she skunked everybody in several Western divisions. She rode him in Western Pleasure, for goodness sake.
That's cool.
They, you know, there's so much they have to offer that so many people don't realize, because I think, like, for example, a saddlebred, everybody associates a saddlebred with doing the saddlebred high-stepping gait things that they do and they show so much, people don't realize they're a very versatile breed. I think the thoroughbred has been cursed in
they
the
are?
Same way. They are, actually.
I'm just teasing.
having ridden saddlebreds and lots of things that have nothing to do with the show classes, the park classes, I've ridden saddlebreds doing lots of other things. They are a very versatile animal. And I think thoroughbreds are a little bit cursed with the whole thing that people think they can only race.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think they're cursed, like, because eventers sure love them, and hunters and jumpers and all that. But you know what? I do have to tell you guys that you brought up the gated type horses. This afternoon, I am heading out to ride, and I have been riding for 2 years now, a Tennessee walking horse named Push. And he was not blessed in the Tennessee walking horse gate. And I guess he was tossed out of a barn, basically, because he wasn't going to make one of those big, fancy show horses. So this nice lady named Diana bought him, and I've been training it for her for 2 years, and he is now going into first-level dressage. I have competed this horse all the way up through training level, Nobody knows that he's a Tennessee walking horse.
He's very, very special.
He trots, and people
cool.
can't believe it. Yeah.
Well, you know, we did a show last week. Was it last week? Let me take a look. I'm trying to remember on Stable Scoop. I don't know if you got to listen to that one, Jamie. But did you hear the show we did last week, episode 117 on Stable Scoop, about the amazing Ivory Powell, who is a bitless barefoot Tennessee walker? And he's one of the sort of representing the breed on the natural side, you know, not having done the unnatural things to get them to do what they do.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, you need to listen to that one. This guy is amazing. The guy who has him is just absolutely amazing. We loved talking to him, and he's welcome to come back on our shows anytime. He was fascinating. So, check that out. That was on Stable Scoop last week. Hey, I wanted to say we are getting some activity on our Facebook page. Susan writes in and says, my 22-year-old Morgan Rambo is strong, low maintenance, curious, smart, and interested in everything. He has a sweet trot and a canter and is learning quickly to be a quiet trail horse. We are learning to trust each other, even doing some baby cross rails. Well, congratulations there, Susan. Plus, you got to see the picture. It's so cute. He's all decked out for Christmas. You have to see the picture. And then Aubrey
That's
wrote in and
cool.
said the movie you guys are thinking of was Miracle of the White Stallions. Loved it. Have it on VHS somewhere. And also Kim wrote in and said, I love my appendix quarter horse. He is a good babysitter, but adjusts his gait to the skill of the rider. They are good at all sports and great temperament. The picture shows my instructor riding my boy. And there's a picture there of her horse, too. So keep on posting over there at Facebook. You have until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to qualify for the $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. Well, you know what? This hour and a half went really fast today.
It sure did.
It did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how fast things go when you just sit there and you talk about horses. It just flies on by, doesn't
it? I know.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. We had some callers today. We appreciate you guys calling in. And, of course, getting to talk to Ross and Ed and the whole gang over there from England, Mandy, we appreciate you guys being on. That was fun. Now we know we can do the international calls and get it accomplished. It's kind of a geeky way to get it done, but they don't call me Glenn the Geek for nothing, Jamie.
You're going to figure it out whether we like it or not.
Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. You can find them all at horseradionetwork.com. And they'll all be coming out here in the next couple of days. They had a really good show over on the Western Radio Show this week that just came out this morning, all about the Quarter Horse World Show that's going on right now. And they get tons of entries into that show. You have to qualify for it. It actually is the World Championships for the Quarter Horses. So you can hear all about that on the Western Radio Show over at westernradioshow.com. As we said,
hey,
you can follow us on Facebook. Yeah,
I was going to say, Glenn, don't forget the big Facebook dressage Western competition going on right now to see who can get more friends. Currently, Western is in the lead. So dressage people, hello, tune in to the dressage. It's a competition between who can get more friends, Facebook dressage people or Facebook Western people. It's on.
Yeah, it's on. Horse Follow Lots, too. Don't forget us, Horses in the Morning. Just search for that on Facebook. And today's, and as we mentioned, today's prize was the $50 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. And today's show was sponsored by Easy Signs Online for all of your farm sign needs. You can visit them at easysignsonline.com. And Janie, you're ordering up a sign from them right now.
I am. Actually, he's working on it. We've got the sign logo, and it's Flyover Farm, the logo, and there's an F-16 on one side because my husband's a pilot, and he flies over our farm, and it's an F-16 on one side, and then there's a jumping horse on the other side. And your brother sent us some clip art that we had to review to find the perfect art for the sign, and the first F-16 he sends over, Chad's like, that's great, that's perfect, no problem. He had to send over, 14 or 15 different jumping horses until I was completely happy with one of them. I even told Chad, he was like, why is this that big a deal? I'm like, honey, that guy is jumping ahead of his horse. That guy's stirrups are way too short, and it looks like he's out of the saddle. I'm like, that horse is sloppy in the front end. So it has
why does that not
perfect,
surprise
so.
Me? Why is none of that a surprise?
Well, it has to be perfect. And
you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss any episodes. You might want to skip the last part of this one when I'm whining. But we'll
be
back tomorrow morning.
My brother over at Easy Signs Online is going to be so sorry he met you.
I know. I'm pain in the butt signs online is the client that I am. So sorry about that, guys, but, it's got to be perfect. Whatever. The horse has to look good. We're going to talk tomorrow about Frisians. So if you're a fan of Frisians, you're definitely going to want to tune in. We're going to have the Chronicle on, and obviously we welcome you to be a part of the show anytime. So farewell. Wear your helmet. I'm going to go ride a Tennessee Walking Horse Dressage. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day. Ride carefully and wear your helmet.